Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Jean-Frédéric Hugel. How are you, Jean?
I'm very well, thank you.
What we're going to do today is we're going to talk a wee bit more about the wines of Alsace and maybe look a bit more at the sort of the grape varieties grown in Alsace and perhaps sort of the unique names that Alsace used for their sweet wine.
Sure, absolutely. The Vendange Tardive and Sélection Grenoble, which you cannot miss.
Okay. I suppose one of the things about Alsace that's a bit different to a lot of wine regions in France is that even before France got a bit modern with their labeling, it used to be illegal to write the name of the grape variety on the wine bottle in most places in France, except for Alsace.
Absolutely.
And what was the reason for that?
The reason for that was that we have a more German-inspired type of grape. So we have grapes that were grown nowhere else, and the blends were slowly, slowly reducing. And we had definitely a more modern approach, in my opinion, because we were the main markets for our wines were the Anglo-Saxon markets, where single grapes were really starting to perform very well. Alsace, the whole system of Alsace has been designed pretty much after the Second World War, so we were able to start from scratch.
See, I always think of it, and this would be, I might be wrong here, but if you buy a Riesling, you know that you get what to expect.
Of course.
If you buy a Gewürztraminer, Traminer, that can be a completely different beast.
It's a total different animal.
And to just have not put the name of the grape on the bottle would mean that no one would ever know what they're getting. Whereas you buy a Bordeaux, might have a bit more Merlot in it than Cab Sauv, or a bit more Cab Sauv than Merlot, but it's still a Bordeaux-y style of wine.
And you trust the chateau. You trust the chateau. You buy a chateau much more than you buy Saint-Julien or Saint-Emilion.
Well, sometimes.
Often.
You think it was more of a marketing decision?
Yes, of course. Bordeaux is all about brands, and Burgundy has two grapes, one red, one white.
Yep.
Alsace has seven different grapes, plus thousands of terroirs and different soils. So it's a challenging piece.
So putting the grape variety on there's been something that's been happening for, 50, 60 years now. What are the key grape varieties in Alsace?
I should start with the Four Noble. The Four Noble grape varieties, which are Riesling, obviously, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Gris and Muscat. And then the others, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Noir, which is the only red grape grown in the area, Sylvaner. And then you have the others. You find a little bit of Chasselas. You find the Auxerrois, the Clevener. So
Auxerrois is quite
We have seven grapes, only talking about the most famous and the most widely accepted.
What would I typically expect an Alsace Riesling to taste like?
Dry, mineral, elegant. I'm really biased. It's my favorite grape, my personal favorite grape.
Are they always dry?
If you taste an average Alsace Riesling, you're going most likely to have a dry wine. Then of course there is Vendange Tardive, there are some Sélection Grenoble which are extremely sweet wines, but any random Riesling, you have a very high chance of having a dry Riesling.
Do they write on the bottle Vendange Tardive?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
And if it says that, because Alsace, that's sort of like a late harvest, but late harvest could be dry or sweet, couldn't it?
Could be, but at the level required for Vendange Tardive, you are most likely to 100% certain to find a really gorgeous sweet wine in your bottle.
Okay. And Sélection Grenoble,
That would be the French equivalent of a Bärenauslese or Trockenbärenauslese from Germany.
So always going to be sweet.
So 100% butchertized grapes and sweet wine.
So if I bought an Alsace Riesling, as long as it didn't say Vendange Tardive or Sélection Grenoble, it'll be dry. But if it says that, it'll be sweet.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. All right, Gewürztraminer is another big grape variety from Alsace. Again, the only place in France that I know that grows this Muscat-style grape variety.
Well, and Alsace is probably, as Riesling is one of the most planted white grapes in the world, Gewürztraminer is probably one of the least planted and Alsace great specialty.
What would you say about Alsace Gewürztraminer?
It has spices like no other Gewürztraminer in the world.
Okay.
It's probably the area where the fragrant and the aromatics of Gewürztraminer express the best. We have long growing seasons, we have dry climates, and at the same time, we can get 100% ripeness on the grapes.
What sort of spices are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about ginger. We're talking about anise and cinnamon. So we're talking about those gorgeous sweet spices. Cardamom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And usually you'd expect the alcohol with Gewürz to be quite high anyway. Cause
yes, very often. It's a grape which ripens very fast. So you'll easily end up with a wine with a high alcohol or high residual sugar.
Yeah, yeah. And normally the acidity I find with Gewürz is quite low, whereas...
It's always a little tricky to keep a Gewürz with high acid balance, yes. You have to pick a little early.
Something like a Riesling, it's just... Riesling exudes acidity, you know, it's, so...
Riesling is balanced by nature. When you pick Riesling, you wait for ripeness. When you pick Gewürz, you keep a very close eye on the acid levels.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they drop, you pick immediately.
One of the great varieties I really enjoyed recently was, I was in Baden, which is just over the road from Alsace,
yes.
Really. It's Baden's, like, must be on the other side of the Rhine River, is it?
It's exactly on the other side.
Yeah.
A little further north, Baden would be, yes, Baden-Württemberg, it's right there on the other side.
One of the wines was a Grauburgunder or Pinot Gris.
Pinot Gris, absolutely.
Same thing. I really liked that style. It was quite different to maybe the Pinot Grigio you might expect from Italy.
Absolutely.
Pinot Gris from Alsace tends to be a bit more textured. Do you want to just describe a bit more what a Alsace Pinot Gris or...
You very like? Often have this flinty, peachy character, this yellow fruit, stone fruit character. And very often, the best way to enjoy a Pinot Gris would be after 5, 6, 10 years of aging, when it starts to be a little more smoky, a little more flinty, have this mushroomy, soily character. That's when a Pinot Gris is ready to drink.
Oh, so you do get a bit of mushroomy aging characteristics.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
That's why I generally recommend Pinot Gris with sauteed mushroom.
Oh, okay.
That's a gorgeous, gorgeous pairing.
All right. Okay, that's pretty good. It used to be called Tokaj, didn't it? Tokaj d'Alsace.
Tokaj d'Alsace.
And that was Pinot Gris, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Pinot Gris. And which is normal in my opinion, but we gave the Hungarian guys their grape back.
Because, well, we'll talk about region. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what was the reason? Was there a ban fight there or?
When Hungary joined the European Union, they stopped using the name Cognac, which makes sense.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Because Cognac is a region.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they asked us to stop using the name Tokaj, which makes sense because Tokaj is a region.
Yeah, yeah. And were you happy with that?
We saw sales decrease a little bit, but it's meaningful. It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, that's fine. What other big grape varieties are there? Is Silvaner?
Silvaner is planted less and less. It's used for many blendings in many areas, especially in Germany.
So what do you use Silvaner for? Is it just one of those grapes as a historical grape that's going to lose?
It's a grape mainly to enjoy young, because it has a nice fruit when it's young, but it rarely to never has the depth and the personality to compete, for example, with a Riesling, which is just obviously one very noble grape.
Would you plant Silvaner in the same place as you'd grow a Gewürz or a Riesling or a...
No, definitely not. If I personally had choice and I had a good location, I would plant Riesling.
Okay.
If I had any clay soil, I would plant Gewürztraminer. Then if I have enough Gewürztraminer and Riesling, I would probably plant Pinot Gris. If I'm in the mood, I would probably plant Muscat on a great terroir, which is exactly what we did. We actually planted some Muscat on the Schönbrunn. And if I still have a little bit of room, maybe I would plant a little bit of Silvaner.
You don't rate it yourself, though, or...?
It's just a matter of focusing on the grapes that you find the most interesting. In the family, we definitely consider the Riesling, Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, and Muscat, the four of them, as being the most noble.
Okay. Ben, Silvaner is just something you're not really that interested in.
We use it. We definitely use it, but most of it is used as a blending grape. We use it for about 40% of our most popular wine, which is the Gentil. But otherwise, we make a very, very small bottling of the straight Silvaner. It's a gorgeous wine, once again, to drink young. But once the wine, it's probably one of the only Alsace grape that has an expiration date.
Okay.
You know, a bottle of Riesling can age for 100 years. A bottle of Silvaner should be enjoyed within the two first years of its life.
Okay. You mentioned Muscat, which is interesting because a lot of people say Muscat and Gewürztraminer, they're virtually the same family. Well, they are the same family. They're very aromatic.
They're very aromatic, yes. Probably Muscat is a little more floral than Gewürztraminer. Gewürztraminer is probably more fruit and spices oriented. And what's interesting with Muscat is that in Alsace, it's mainly vinified completely dry.
Always dry.
Always dry.
Yep.
So very nice. It's actually a very nice wine for asparagus. The season is just finishing, but white asparagus, which is very popular in Alsace, that's my go-to wine when it comes to pairing with asparagus.
But it's not very widely planted, though, is it?
No, it's a very demanding grape. Very, very demanding grape.
In what way?
Very sensitive during the blooming.
Yeah.
You can lose half of your crop just in a week of rain during the blooming.
That's coulure or hidden. Do you coulure. Get a lot coulure, of hidden chicken?
It's extremely sensitive to coulure.
Yep.
And in addition, the skin is very thin.
So rot is a real problem.
So rot and rain would just ruin them.
Okay, so, but you don't get very wet in Alsace, hopefully.
But if you do, you just lose your crop of Muscat.
Okay, so it's not really a grape variety that you want to have a big investment in.
You cannot build something on Muscat. It's just the bonus grape.
Okay.
If you have a good Muscat, that's why we planted a tiny bit of Muscat on the Chenonceau. We're hoping to make a late harvest of Muscat. We haven't produced one in a long time.
Where's the Chenonceau?
The Chenonceau is one of the most famous areas for Riesling, south-facing with limestone soils. It's right in the center of Alsace.
Oh, okay. Right in the middle. It's one of the main vineyards.
It's one of our main vineyards. We're 100% located in Rigvier, and it's our most celebrated vineyard.
What about Pinot Noir? There's a wee bit of Pinot Noir in Alsace. I haven't drunk a lot of it myself, if any. Well, one or two maybe, but...
It's a delicate matter, Pinot Noir. It's definitely improving, and there are some gorgeous Pinot Noirs in Alsace, but it's still a grape which is extremely demanding in terms of ripeness. And as much as Riesling and Gewürztraminer do not have the same sensitivity to a little bit of rot or ripe or rain, sometimes humidity can ruin your crop of Pinot Noir. So Pinot Noir is definitely improving in Alsace, but as we are quite far north, we still need quite a warm vintage to succeed really well with Pinot Noir.
And do you think it's something that might improve with a bit of global warming, or do you think it already is.
It already is. Our good vintages of Pinot Noir are definitely coming closer.
How do they taste compared to, say, Burgundy? Are they heavier, lighter, red fruits, black fruits?
They're definitely red fruits, very cherry-oriented. And, of course, we don't have the terroirs and the climat that Burgundy has. And we don't have especially the experience and the history that Burgundy has with Pinot Noir. So Burgundy is our go-to reference when it comes to Pinot Noir. But we cannot say we produce Burgundy-style Pinot Noir because Burgundy is more than a style. It's just what it is.
What about Pinot Blanc? That's an interesting grape variety because you don't see a lot of that. I mean, like Alsace, you see it, but
yes.
All the other grape varieties, the New World
Riesling,
grows.
They are grown everywhere.
Yeah. Pinot Blanc is Baden-Baden. A certain Baden.
Yeah, Germany produces a fair bit of Pinot Blanc, but other than this, it's not a widely planted grape.
Why is that?
Probably because Riesling, which has probably the same kind of characteristics, has taken most of the exposure. That would be my opinion, because it's a grape that I really enjoy. And what can be interesting to know about Alsace Pinot Blanc is that not only can Pinot Blanc, straight Pinot Blanc, be called as it is, there's also a second grape which is allowed to be vinified as a Pinot Blanc, which is Auxerrois.
Yeah, that's because that Auxerrois is grown in Burgundy as well, isn't it?
A little bit in Burgundy, but especially
in Champagne.
It's what produces the Gris de Toul.
What?
A bit in Champagne, but it's the wine that produces Gris de Toul in Lorraine. So it's mainly planted in Lorraine. Further north. Further north.
Oh my goodness me, okay.
It's a very, very tiny wine area, and they do grow some Auxerrois. And in Alsace, we've taken over Auxerrois, and we blend it with the Pinot Blanc. So a straight Auxerrois even can be called Pinot Blanc.
Why is that? Is that?
It's one of those strange wine things.
Okay. All right. So you can name an Auxerrois Pinot Blanc in Alsace.
Absolutely. And our Pinot Blanc is a blend of 50% of Pinot Blanc and 50% of Auxerrois.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? And there's no real problem with the rules or anything like that.
It's one of the areas where you're allowed to cheat a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so it's not cheating if you're allowed, right?
No. So as long as it's all written up in the rules and that's what it says.
Yes.
It's when you start throwing in things like all sorts of stuff and trying to call it something else. In terms of style, Pinot Blanc to me, when I've had it, it's mainly been like I've had it from Baden. It always reminds me of sort of yellow pears and that sort of thing. Is
yes.
that similar sort of thing in Alsace?
Alsace is probably Pinot Blanc is vinified with a little more purity. We have a big tradition in Alsace of vinifying our wines without any addition of oak. There's no oak influence at all. I know the Germans like a tiny bit of oak influence on their Pinot Blanc. Many of the producers do produce a Pinot Blanc very often in the first cask that they use. The first time they use a cask, they often use it for Pinot Blanc.
Oh, okay.
And in Alsace, it's either stainless or completely neutral oak.
Okay.
So also much more reductive winemaking and less oxidation during the process.
All right. Lovely. And just to finish up with, I just wanted to cover those two sweet wines. We've talked about them on and off already.
Yes.
But I just want to, in my own here, because I struggle with, German Auslese, Trockenbaren Auslese, all that sort of stuff. I've got that down pat.
Yes.
But Alsace, because you've got different names, it seems to be a bit more tricky for me. Do you want to go through the two sweet varietals or sweet naming conventions?
Sure. So Vendange Tardive, which literally means late harvest, are grapes harvested later, as the name can tell, and they're harvested with higher potential of alcohol, so higher sweetness in the grapes. Plus, very often, the concentration that you can get from dehydration increases also the aromatics and increases the acid levels. So it concentrates the acidity.
Oh, you get higher acidity levels as well.
You can get higher acidity compared to grapes picked at the same time without dehydration, obviously, because acidity reduces.
Okay. So it's getting dehydrated.
So it's concentrating. It only comes from concentrating of the must and of the juice in the berries. So it can come from botrytis, so the noble rot, as we call it, or it can come simply from dehydration from the winds and sun.
Okay, so you get a bit of dehydration. Okay, because normally late harvest, the grapes don't have to necessarily be dehydrated.
It's not necessarily the case, but it's dehydration is what is going to concentrate the juice. So, of course, the vine is going to build up some more sweetness, but it's mainly from dehydration that you're going to get really the higher potential of sweetness.
Okay. And the second style of sweet wines?
Sélection de Grenoble. So, selection of noble berries.
Yep.
It's 100% botrytis. And these berries are almost 100% dehydrated. They are nothing but sugar, aromatics, and acid. It's very often you are amazed by the sweetness of the grapes as you taste them. You can taste them. They're raisins. They're literally raisins. And we go through the vineyards and select only the bunches or sometimes even the berries that are the most dehydrated. So you have to imagine people walking around with pockets, large pockets,
yep,
and just grabbing the berries one by one just to produce the most sweetest, delicious nectar possible.
Perfect. All right, then. I think we're going to wrap it up there and let you get going. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Cheers, bud.